Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that were.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fast. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Wednesdays with M, the Queen, the Queen, the Queen, the Queen.
What's up, world? It's your girl, M, the Queen, your one and only host, and you're joining and you're tuning in to the Emphatic Show on LawlessRadio.com. Yes, yours truly, the one and only host. Am the Queen, for she is I, and I am her, y'all. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in M's world, in my neighborhood, yo. It is, like, really, really beautiful. I've been so blessed. Things are happening, man. I'll be talking to you for the next couple hours about what's going on. Just things is, you know, just things are just getting better, and, you know, I'm living my dream. I'm not chasing my dreams no more, but I'm living my dream, yo. And I'm telling you, I got to share it with y'all, and I want y'all to be a part of everything that I'm doing, yo. Everything that my brand is producing, I want y'all to be a part of it. Just know that. And y'all, for the next 2 hours, you're going to be joining me and the Queen as I play nothing but, and I mean nothing but, underground, unsigned artists, where we support our local come-up. That's what we do at Lawless. Support our local come up, and guess what we want you to do? Support your local come up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, oh, I hate to do this. I hate to do this. M has never had to do this in the history of the Emphatic Show, Lawless Radio. I just never had to do this. Yo, I had a guest tonight. Had a guest, Suge the Nasty Boy out of South Carolina. It's a sad day. I have to announce that he's not going to be tuning in because Yo, when I ask y'all to do something, I want you to do it. If I, you know, allow you to come on my show and be a part of my world, which is the Emphatic World Lawless Radio, you know, all I want you to do is send me your edited music. That's all I want you to do. If you can't send me your edited music, if you can't get your music edited, then there's a problem. If you don't have an engineer that can edit your music, there's a problem. If you got management that don't know what editing is and don't know and has to ask someone about how to edit his artist's music, that's a major problem. So therefore, you know, I mean, he sent me some hot joints, and I'm not even putting them on Front Street right now, and that's not what I'm here to do. But, you know, M keeps it all the way live and all the way real, and it is what it is. He sent me some hot music, and it was F-bombs, N-bombs, and, I mean, every other bomb you could think of, you know, bombs over Baghdad, you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, I like the joints. I really did, all three of them, but, yo, I'm still prime time, and I tell you this all the time. I am prime time. I'm from 8 to 10. Kids are up watching me, or not watching, but listening to me. And the parents are sitting right beside them, I hope, and knowing that their kids are listening to clean music, safe music, they're listening to underground music, unsigned music, but they're listening to music that ain't got a whole lot of cursing, a whole lot of bad words that they should not be listening to and picking up on just to go to school to say them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if I ask you to send me your edited music, I mean just that. You can take out your curse words. Nobody's taking nothing from you. Nobody's taking away your grind. Nobody's taking away your shine. I mean, that's not what we do here at Lawless, and I don't think that's what anyone is trying to do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about protecting what we got established here, and it's all about our brand. It's all about Lawless Radio. It's bigger than Emphatic. It's bigger than M the Queen. You know, we want to make sure that we keep, you know, the rules and regulations. We have to make sure we abide by them, and we want our guests to, too. It's as simple as that. So, you know, sorry, Suge. You know, maybe, you know, if you can get these same songs, actually, if you can get them edited, then, you know, holler back at me, and I'll definitely have you on the show. No harm done. But, y'all, we got to get into the show. This is the Emphatic Show with M the Queen, yo. The Queen, the only Queen. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was, man, I'm telling you, like, I wanted to touch on police brutality, but I've done it enough. It's too sad to talk about, and I'm too mad to even go into it. So we're going to bypass that. You know, I got a whole different topic tonight, and the topic tonight is, and it's not even really a topic so much as a question, what are your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul? Y'all know what to do. Call in 646-478-5209 or log on to lawlessradio.com. Show enough. But, yeah, before I even go into, you know, my dreams and aspirations that I really never told anyone, and then some of them I did tell people, you know, before I even go into that, I just want to say August 25th made 13 years of the passing of Miss Aaliyah Dana Halton. So definitely one second of silence. Yes. Rest in peace, baby girl. That's all I can say. And you're in a better place. But, y'all, I see these callers. Callers already calling in. Oh, my goodness. That's what it do. Okay. I like that. I like it when the callers call in early. You know, they want to get the party started right and quickly. But before I take my first caller, to answer the question of the night, what are your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul? I'll be really, really brief with mine. Well, everybody know my ultimate, you know, dream and aspiration is to be an entertainer, a singer-songwriter, which I already am, and I've been professional for 16 and a half years, and, you know, before that, singing gospel with my sister and my mother and I in a gospel group. But that's not a secret. Everybody knows that. Nobody could shut me up growing up, and you can't shut me up now. But no, one of my secret aspirations were, and, like, I don't think this was much of a secret either, I wanted to win Miss USA and Miss Universe. Yes, M the Queen. Yeah. So the queen, that's kind of where that came from. Not that I'm trying to be the queen of the universe, because, you know, I can't be the queen of the universe, but I can be the queen of M's world. That's what that signifies. But no, I always wanted to be a beauty queen. Yes, I did. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you some funny facts about the M right now. Y'all can laugh. I don't mind. You know, I laugh at myself all the time. I don't take myself too seriously, just my brand. But, yeah, I used to, you know, take my mom's, you know, wigs, put on her wigs and stuff, you know, and, you know, anything that was a round shape. You know, I, after maybe a beauty pageant, after USA and Universe, or even on a day where I'm just dreaming about being a beauty queen, I don't care what it was. If it was a roll of tape, that was one of my main crowns, y'all. That was one of the main things I used for a crown, was a roll of tape. Let me see, what else have I used that I could think of? I've used quite a few things. I've made my own little I used to make like aluminum foil, you know, I used to wrap it around a clothes hanger, you know, the metal clothes hanger. You know, I would just, you know, pull it, you know, try to make it as circular as I can, and, you know, and just try to, you know, wind it up, you know, to fit my head. And I did all that stuff, y'all. And I'd walk around in my mom's nightgown and stuff, and that would be my robe, and walk around and have my imaginary scepter, or, you know, my imaginary whatever. And just walked around the house as if I was queen. I was in my own little world. I mean, I played primarily by myself anyway, because my siblings didn't like me. And they still don't. Well, my brother does, but anyway. that's a whole other story for a whole other day, and that's a whole other show anyway. But, yeah, so that's what I did. I wanted to be a beauty queen. And also, you know, and kind of segueing into my other dream, I always wanted to be a model. I mean, I knew at an early age that I had a unique look. You know, I was told that, you know, by several people, but I even knew it anyway. So even if no one told me, I still would have just felt that way. But yeah, that was my other aspiration. And so around 14, that's when I started feeling myself. I start, you know, noticing the cheekbones start popping, you know, and I got a little hype to me. You know, I guess around 8th grade, somewhere around 14 years old, I think I had hit 5'5", and, you know, sprouted up to 5'6", where I am now is 5'6", and I was always real thin. I was always skinny. Had like a little butt on me, but, you know, I had a little tiny butt, a little peanut. But yeah, I wanted to be a model, and so I took it a step further. I said, you know what, just M fashion. I mean, the consummate M fashion. I took the bull by the horns. I started subscribing to 17 and what's the other magazine? 17 magazine, and I want to say Cosmo Girl. No, it was Vogue. It was Vogue. It was Vogue, 17 magazine, but it was another teen magazine that was out there too. I can't remember. But anyway, on the back of the magazine, they used to have these little postcards that you could tear off, you know, for Barbizon and John Casablanca's modeling schools, and I sent them in, and they would write me back, you know, saying that, you know, I would send a picture also. So I would send the postcard first, and then, you know, I would always take down the address and then send a picture in, and, you know, they basically would send me a letter back, you know, an application and everything, saying that I had a look, you know, that they think that they could definitely train, and they could train me to be a model. You know, back then it blew my head up, not knowing that they're looking for money, you know. So anybody out there that think that John Casablancas and Barbizon's are modeling agencies, no. They're modeling schools. They train you to be a model, and they train you to look like a model if you're not even a model. You might not even have potential to be a model, but they'll train you to look like one. So just know they're trying to – I'm not even saying it's a ripoff, because if you are aspiring to do something like that, then you would want to get trained on it. Or, you know, maybe, you know, so if someone is not, you know, discovering you on the street like Whitney Houston, she's walking down the street of New York and, you know, someone – saw her, like a lot of these models, you know, it usually happens by chance. They walking down the street or in a, you know, mall or something like that, and some talent scout sees them and approach them like, wow, you have a, you know, look of a model. Or have anyone ever told you that you should be a model? Wow, look at those cheekbones. They'll just walk around them and just kind of, you know, just kind of look at them and diagnose them and, you know, and just kind of like pick out things that and tell them like, oh, my God, you know, you have, you know, the nicest butt. Oh, wow, you have the nicest cheekbones. Oh, that smile, that's the smile we're looking for. You know how it goes. So, yeah, so that was one of my other ones. And I never, I never did become a model, but I did used to go on a lot of model scouts between 1996 and 98. The reason why I stopped, you know, doing the model scouts because they would tell me I was too big. And well, not even too big. They would say I was overweight, which is even worse. Overweight at 5'6 and 132 pounds, I'm overweight. I'm like, how in the hell does that happen? I mean, I just got tired of, you know, them telling me all the time that, you know, I was overweight. I would go to every model scout there was, every modeling casting call or whatever at the, what was that, hotel, Marriott, not Marriott, it was the Hyatt, I want to say, at the airport in Raleigh-Durham Airport. I would go to all the, you know, the hotel on Glenwood and by Crabtree Mall. They would hold model modeling, you know, scouts there and, you know, they have, like, ING, I think it's ING. I want to say that's the name of the, one of the modeling agencies that would be there. John Casablancas would be there, and a lot of the other ones. I never really seen Wilhelmina, but, you know, I vaguely do remember some of the names of them. And, you know, they would always tell me I had a look, but I needed just to lose 10 more pounds. I'm like, my goodness. And one time I actually came home, and I was kind of in tears, not that I was hurt, by what they said, I'm like, but if I lost 10 pounds, I would be nothing. And my mom said, you know what? If you lose 10 pounds, you're not. I mean, you're not even big now. Well, I mean, you're. What did she say? I was something soaking wet. It was some little saying that she said. But anyway, she would just encourage me that, look, if you have to do all that to be a model, then it's not for you. And you know what? I took her advice and I took my own advice and just, you know, I gave up on that. You know, I'm not a quitter, but I just knew this wasn't for me. I mean, at the end of the day, I was still singing anyway. I was doing my little thing, and yeah. And my third one, real quick, callers, I see you. The third one, I always wanted to be a basketball star. Yes, yes, yes. M has a sporty side. M is very competitive, very, very competitive. Friendly competition and nasty competition. Yo, my brother taught me to play basketball, and my father somewhat, he was a big cheater, but my brother really had the skills. And, you know, he would teach me things, and he and I would play against each other, 21. And, you know, I was the consummate cheater, too. I can't stand to lose. And he being 6'3", let me tell you, y'all, I used to tickle him as he's going down the court or, you know, take my knee and just kick it, you know, just ram my knee into the side of his knee and debilitate him, grab the ball, and go up for a layup. Whether I make the shot or not, I didn't care as long as I had the ball in my hand. So, you know, that was my other thing. And the funny thing is, when I was in high school, every single year except for my senior year, our coach, Coach Lester Wilder, shout out to Lester Wilder. That was our basketball coach, girls' basketball coach at Franklinton High School in Franklinton, North Carolina. Yeah, big shout out to him. And he's still looking good. He's on my Facebook page. So if you're listening, Lester, you're still looking good, man. I can't even believe you're in your 60s. It's hard to believe. It seemed like it was just yesterday that, you know, you're just that young bald guy with that toothpick in your mouth, and I'm sure you probably have it in your mouth now. But, yeah, y'all, every year he would, you know, come to me at the beginning of school, you know, when school starts, asking me to try, Mary, why don't you try out? You know you're good. You know your brother good. You know your brother can play basketball. You know your daddy. You know, every single year. I don't think I've ever really told too many people this either. But, yeah, every single year except for my senior year because I was pregnant. So that would have been virtually impossible for me to, you know, I had a basketball inside of me, so I couldn't see myself dribbling one. So, and then going up for a layup, yeah, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, so those are my secret dreams and aspirations, you know, wanting to be a beauty queen, you know, wanting to be Miss USA and Miss Universe and also a, you know, high fashion model on the runway, print all of it, and a basketball star. So there you have it. On that note, I'm going to take my first caller. I see an 862. I believe that's New Jersey. Who we got on the line?
You already know. It's Ty. What's good, my queen?
What's up, my fam? Nothing much. Up here just, you know, having a good time thinking about how blessed I am and, you know, laughing. You know, I know you just heard me. I was just laughing at myself about my secret dreams and aspirations and stuff. So,
yeah
there you have it. You know, I wanted to be a little beauty queen and a model and a basketball star, aside from being a singer.
But what
writer.
Was the deal with the clothes hangers, wrapping them up? Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. That's something I wanted to do. Yeah, so, yeah. Now I got you on the line. What are your dreams and aspirations that you never told anyone? Your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul that you, just something that you wanted to do or wanted to be?
Well, two things in particular. One, I can't necessarily say I haven't told anybody. I haven't voiced it, but it's been seen just by knowing me. I've always wanted to be, like, the most famous drag racer in the world. I've always, like,
oh, wow.
Of course I love motorcycles, but I've always wanted to do it on a professional level, drag racing motorcycles. Ever since I was, 12, 11, I've always wanted to drag race motorcycles for a living and just make mad money doing. Why?
Right.
It's just, I don't know. Hearing a motorcycle cranking is an adrenaline rush for me. You feel what I'm saying? And just sitting behind those handlebars, having so much control over this powerful machine, you know what I'm saying? Just to, I don't know. It's like, I started out riding, I was real nervous or whatnot, and I started out drag racing, I was real nervous. And then when I actually started, you know, getting into the hang of it, my third or fourth pass, it's like, I feel like the bike is a part of me, and I can make it do what I want it to do. So ever since then, I've always wanted to be this real famous drag racer.
Wow, that's,
I've always wanted to be known.
Yeah,
I mean, I've always wanted to be known. You know what I'm saying? When you see Ty pull up, yeah, he's gonna bring it to you.
Wow, that's what's up.
Yeah,
in this drag racer. That's not a bad profession, and actually make a little change there, you know. That's
exactly.
A good move right there.
And aside from that, the
wow.
other aspiration is
so you actually
took
the bull by the horns, too, by riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I grew up around them. My mom's been riding since I was, seven, maybe eight. I know I was always her little passenger or whatever the case may be. And then my father bought one when I was, 14. You know, so watching him leave me at the house and stuff like that, I'm like, man, you know what? When I get big, I'm going to do that right there. And that's exactly why, you know, you see it on my Facebook. I got it tattooed on my arm, Get Big. That comes from my desire to be this famous drag racer. You know,
I was going to ask you about that. You know, I've been wondering about that tattoo. I kind of was presumptuous about the tattoo. I thought maybe you were just kind of you're a big tie now, not, you know, as opposed to your dad, who's a big tie. So that's what it is.
Yeah, it. Let me just say that the tattoo has two different meanings behind it. One I can't speak on because, you know, this fine time. But the other, it just stems from my desire to just be this biker. Because like I said, when my mother bought hers, I told her, when I get big, Mama be right beside you. I'm going to ride with you. When I get big, I'm going to do this. I was 14 years old. I was 12 years old. And of course, motorcycle clubs have been around for a long time. But I saw one in person. Like, I met members of a motorcycle club in person for the first time. And I told when I get big, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do exactly what y'all are doing. 14, my father bought his bike, and he used to lead me all the time, him and his friends, and I'm like, you know what, when I get big, I'm going to be right there behind you, and I'm going to probably outride you, which, I mean, that ended up being the case, but anyway. I just kept saying, when I get big, I'm going to do this, when I get big, I'm going to ride, so that's why I ended up tatting it on me, so, you know, I mean, once I put it in my skin, I said I had to live up to it, so started dragging.
Yeah.
And then that's when I developed this other aspiration to, you know, own a chain of high-performance motorcycle shops all up and down the coast. I don't know why. It's just like every aspiration of mine is built around, you know, both me and my son being real thick in the motorcycle community. So
wow,
I guess being a better
up.
Biker is my main aspiration. I'll say that.
Wow. Now, do you have any secret aspirations that you've never seen, that you think about, that you've thought about?
Um,
don't know, maybe being a sumo wrestler.
WWE. Honestly, no. Well, let me take that back. Winning the lottery. I don't know. I've always just thought like one day it's gonna happen because I don't. In my heart, I don't feel like with the dreams and the goals and the plans that I have for my life, in my heart, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be broke. In my heart, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be working a 9-to-5, you know. So for some reason, I've always had it in my head that something's going to come along, whether or not it's, you know, me actually working on owning those motorcycle shops or me just hitting the lottery. One day, I'm going to be rich. So
mm-hmm.
I just feel like...
Well, that's not a secret. Everybody's thought that at some point.
Yeah, but it's just like... It's crazy because I consider it more so a plan as opposed to, you know, just a dream or whatever the case may be. I just don't know how I'm going to make that plan come about. That's why I said...
Yeah, that was my next question, how are you going to make that plan come about?
It's going to
happen. It's going to happen. Well, you know, I, who's to say it won't happen, because I'm one of those people, I'm very faithful. I believe
yeah.
in stepping out on faith. Everything I do in my life has been because I stepped out on faith. And, you know, 9 out of 10, or actually, I'd say 99.5% of the time when I stepped out on faith, it worked out. You know, it was divine. So, yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, it really could. I mean, because it's, I don't think it's no, you know, how people have these conspiracy theories about, you know, lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to use that phrase, but I
mean, and all that.
Yeah, you know that, you know, but you notice that a lot of times the people that win the lotto are older couples that worked all their lives, you know, they've had their own company and they had like a mom and pop shop or whatever and worked all their lives, or it might be someone, you know, that was really down on their luck at one point that was a drug addict. It's usually people like that. It's not your every, you know, it's not your just like average Joe Blow. It's somebody. And then you think about it like, okay, because it's usually, I'm telling you, it's more so those old couples that win or older person that's worked hard all their life. But in my opinion, I think that God is just rewarding them for their hard work. That's what I simply think. That's what it is. I don't think
True.
That the lottery is rigged. I don't think none of that stuff.
True.
If it was rigged,
True.
Then I don't think nobody should be winning then.
I mean, like I choose not to believe in those whole things. I mean, I've heard it plenty of times, and, you know, sometimes I even look at other cats that, you know, play into it religiously, and I'm like, man, it ain't never going to happen. So I play it on the fly. I play it every now and then because I just hope one day it's just going to be that. It's going to be my time, and, you know, I get that check for,
mm-hmm.
you know, 50, 60 mil, whatever the case may be, and then that'll make it, you know what I'm saying, that'll facilitate the process of, you know, making my other dreams and aspirations come through. So,
right.
It'll happen
right
there.
Right.
I'm one of those ones out there praying and then go get what I prayed for. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and that's the best answer you can give, you know. I mean, it's nothing you can't achieve. My daddy always told us that you can do anything, especially me, you can do anything you want if you set your mind to. You can have anything that you want in life if you set your mind to it. So, you know, if you really set your mind to win the lotto, I really believe it could happen. I don't believe there'll be any method to it. I just think it'll be in the hands of God and God only. It won't
yeah.
be no magical numbers that you – well, I guess there'll be magical numbers if you do hit. You know, in your mind there will be magical, but it'll be nothing short of a miracle.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep. Yep. Well, I appreciate you tuning in. Like, I mean, you know, I love it when you call in. Y'all, let me tell you, Big Ty is family. He calls in every week faithfully, and I couldn't even imagine doing this show without him calling in. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't imagine him with laryngitis on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I wouldn't let that happen.
Right. It wouldn't seem right, man. Well, look, stick around and stay on the line as long as you can. I know you said you didn't know how long you're going to be on, but I have another New Jersey caller, and I think I know who it is, so you hang tight there. Hold on a second here. Let me get that 908. You're tuning into the Emphatic Show on LawlessRadio.com. Who do we have on the line? 908, who's that on the line? It's who? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay, Ty, I guess, you know, I have a feeling who that is, but I'm not with, okay, they disappeared. All right, okay. Well, 908, you know, come back. If you got blood that's the same as mine, which I think that's the case, you call back. All right. But anyway, what I'm going to do, it is 8:30. We got to get into some music. You know, at the end of the day, we still a radio station. We got to play our underground unsigned, you know, independent artists. So, you know, Ty, hold tight there, and we're going to talk some more, and I got some more things I want to talk about on the show today, some exciting stuff, some mainstream media. I haven't done that in a couple weeks, y'all. Well, actually, I haven't done it in over a month because I've had a guest probably for, let me see, 4 consecutive weeks I've had a guest. I've actually had a guest. So, you know, I had to kind of cut things short and talk less and, you know, bring my guests on, play a little music. So, yeah, definitely yeah, we definitely got to get into some music. But, yeah, y'all, if you're listening, this is my title for tonight, or my topic, not even really a topic. It's more like a question. Okay, with Blog Talk, we're having some issues here. Y'all just hold tight. My question tonight is, what are your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul, that you never told a soul? Y'all, I'm trying to gear up for this music here, and Blog Talk is acting crazy tonight. Y'all just bear with me 1 second here. We're going to get it on. We're going to get it on. So, okay, until it get right, here we go. All right. Y'all just bear with me 1 second here. This never happens, but, you know, technology is not perfect, so it is what it is. But while it's gearing up, okay, I got to talk about Nicki Minaj for 1 second. If anybody has seen her Anaconda video, I mean, call in. You know, this is going to be parallel to my topic tonight or my question tonight. Call in. If you've seen the Nicki Minaj Anaconda video, call in. And I got my reasons for asking because, you know, I feel some type of way about it, you know, about the song. Not even the song, because the song is kind of cute. You know, it's basically sampled. I like Big Bus and I cannot lie, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot. And that's definitely a classic. I mean, I don't know no white person that can't dance to that song. And when I say can't, I mean can't. but I'm feeling some type of way about that song. I mean, well, not the song, but the video. So, y'all, if you've seen the Anaconda video and if you saw Nicki Minaj's performance on the VMAs, call in. You know the number, 646-478-5209, or log on to lawlessradio.com. We about to get into some A Good Day to Die, BMO Slim, My Lawless Brother. Y'all know it's emphatic, and Lawless, y'all stay tuned. Here we go.
You know, it's sad when one believes they can only find peace in death. It's even sadder when one takes their own life to find that peace, find that peace, find that peace, find that peace, find that peace. My mind state is erratic. I find myself
feeling. My partner gone, grandmama gone, granddaddy gone, I'm all alone. I really just wanna go home. With these, leave me alone. Trapped in a place where I can't be free. Mentally where I don't need to be. And I see some things that I ain't need to see. Now for you to take heed to me. I caught the gun so easily. Said a prayer and then hit me. Apologies to my girl and Steve. Leaving y'all with this tragedy. I take a breath and I smile inside. This cause I see peace ahead. I put the barrel inside my head. Hope and pray that y'all find me. Y'all find me. Y'all find me. Ain't no reason to lie. Lie. I'm just ready to die. Ain't no reason to lie, lie. I'm just ready to die, die.
Rolling up, rolling hard enough. I'm drunk as folk. I ain't ate shit all day, don't know how my stomach holding up. I be too turned up, please don't turn me down. When your bitch tasty, love me, so I kicked her out.
All I know is turn up.
Giving glory, what you do to me is such a never ending story. I could look at you all day and you could never bore me. You make me schizophrenic, car rock, or Mr. Softy, keeping me up night and day like coffee. I wanna still make love to you by the age of 40. It's such a turn on to see you raising shorties on your own. So arouse me, you don't have to talk naughty on the phone. Your voice is sexy enough, soft and innocent, knowing damn well you like the sex rough and intimate. And your slanted eyes give looks that tickle my heart. Girl, look who you have me with from the start. It's no wonder why I stopped hanging out, doing things I do on the reg. Thoughts of you in the bed got me losing my head. On top of the world, it's how you make this man feel. Without a doubt, you're all women, let me just stand still.
I guess you wonder where I've been.
love compared to you. It makes heartaches unbearable. I call you every night, wishing I was there with you. It shouldn't be hard to tell that I care for you, and that no matter the circumstance, I'm always there for you. If not in the body, then definitely mind and soul. I'm willing to make this work with mind control. Plus, I can't sleep on the fact that you're behind and swole. Always like the way you move, that's just how dimes roll. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine to hold. Hopefully, we still be good by the time my wine gets sold. We don't have to wind it down with clothes. Between your sweet lips, I'm even divine your soul. It shines like gold, baby, I'm never disregarding. Sometimes I fantasize about us making love to Quincy Jones' secret garden. In a dark room with candles lit, whatever you want to do, boo, I can handle it. This love's advantages.
My friends wonder what is wrong with me.
Relate. All my people relate.
From your love, you say.
Sir. I need in a woman. I mean, you're smart, supportive, sweet, and sexy looking. And on occasions, I'm blessed by your home cooking. I'm never overlooking nor knocking you, unless I'm on top of you. Even through all our drama, I still have the hots for you. Every night when I go to sleep, I dream of rocking you. Not only in the bed, but on the day that we wed. You're the love of my life, but what he or she said. As far as I'm concerned, you're the only one that knows me. And knows that I'm always willing to ride like a roadie. And never leave if you want me to stay, like Lumi D. With the diamond like yourself, who needs jewelry? I know the dudes will probably see you as opportunity when you're not with me, and have the nerve to say the cool with me. But you already know that with me, it's all real. And I make it pitch black, but the cattle thinks he's that ill. Just the facts of how I feel, this is not a facade. You feel stressed? You can get the full body massage. Let the oil and the strength of my hands twerk every muscle. Call it your rebirth, hearts diverse when we cuddle. To maintain ties with you is worth every struggle, simply because you're my star, my earth on a humble.
I can't believe the things I do for you. Do for love.
Intruder, homie, hide your chick, hide your wife. Get your weight up or get ate up. Life is a chick and I need money to date her. I ain't got class, but getting women's a major. No memory card, so I guess I won't save her. I got a lot of haters right here in the front row, but they would never convo with their head honcho. I ain't Japanese, but they call me Hungo, Hungo. Looking for some young, young bro.
Okay, bad, bad, super duper. Super duper, yeah, super duper. Okay, bad, bad, bad. Super duper, super duper, yeah, super duper. Okay, they like when I get up on it. I'm so bad, yeah, I'm bad to the bone, yeah. Uh-huh, bad, bad, super duper, super duper, yeah, super duper. Uh-huh.
I'm fresh to death, yeah, I'm a dead man walking. Fresher than a suit and bow tie, die sucker. Like assalamu alaikum, bean pie, my brother. Bad to the biz on, I yell and I holler. Yeah, I'm super duper bad, and I'll be better tomorrow. Go ahead.
Bad, bad, super duper, super duper, yeah, super duper. Okay, bad, 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 super duper. Super duper, yeah, super duper. Okay, they like when I get up on it. I'm so bad, yeah, I'm bad to the bone, yeah. Uh-huh, bad, bad, super duper. Super duper, yeah, super duper. Uh-huh.
Yes, 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 I am back, your girl in the queen, for she is I and I am her. Y'all are tuning in to the Emphatic Show on lawlessradio.com. You know what it is, it's Emphatic Wednesday, yeah. Anyway, you just heard a few songs there. You just heard the first song, A Good Day to Die, my homie, my brother, my lawless brother, BMO Slim. That song, every time I hear it, I heard it for the first time. He premiered it last week on the Grit Grind show, which I used to be co-host of, now moved to Friday night. And I love the song. I love it. BMO, shout out to you for that. Also, All I Know Is Turn Up, Prince Lolo. And after that was Work This Out, Stevie Diamond. What I would Not Do, my boy Earl Franchise from NYC, Victoria's Secret, Jay McNeil, and Super Bad. Oh, bad. Who's bad? Who's bad? Who? Yeah, y'all know I play that every week. That's M.I.C. That is my song. I'm trying to tell y'all that is my jump. But anyway, y'all, yeah, we got a topic tonight. Definitely got a topic tonight. And like I said, it's really not a topic so much of a question. What are your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul? Y'all, if you want to share that information, you know what to do. You call in 646-478-5209 or simply log on to lawlessradio.com. It's as simple as that. Where we support our local come-up, we only play underground, unsigned, independent artists. You already know. But, y'all, before the commercial break, I was talking about the Nicki Minaj Anaconda. But before I even get into that, y'all, you know, let me just recap the VMAs. I got a chance to see the VMAs, not Sunday, but I saw them Monday. I kind of forgot they were coming on, and I had some stuff that was more important, you know, to do, like a magazine article. Yeah, I stay grinding. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, it wasn't a bad show, you know. I mean, it is what it is. It's the VMAs. What can you say? A lot of the women were dressed really nice. I can honestly say that. Don't know what Amber Rose had on, but look, honey, I hate to say this. I actually don't have a problem with Amber Rose, but if you're going to wear something like that, lose a little bit more of that baby weight. I said it. Yep. But, I mean, a lot of women, you know, they look nice, and a lot of shade was thrown, but, you know, I don't even want to report the shade. I just want to report, you know, it was a pretty decent show. But what I found was funny, though, is a lot of the artists that was on the show, I couldn't even tell you who they were. Now, I've heard of Ariana Grande. I guess she's dating Big Sean now. I mean, I guess she just got this thing for Latino-looking chicks or Latino, fully-blooded Latino chicks because, you know, he was engaged to Naya Rivera, and I don't know what happened with that. She went and married a white guy just a month ago, and now it looks like he's with this chick. She's pretty young, though. She, you know, started to show off singing, and girl got some pipes on her. Pretty little chick. And some dude that they kept talking about named Sam, I think it was Sneed or something. I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like a lot of these artists I don't know about. I mean, y'all haven't been living up under a rock. I really haven't. It's just that when I'm in music mode, I mean, I don't listen to a whole lot of mainstream music unless, you know, I'm listening to the radio in the car or whatever. But, yeah, I try not to listen to any, you know, too much mainstream, because when I'm in music mode, which I'm actually, you know, I'm still working on my album, which is really almost done. I know I've been saying that for a long time. Yeah, it's in me. It's going to come out. It's going to come out, but I'm not putting out something unless it's right. I mean, down to the lyrics, down to my voice, the vocals, even down to the engineering, it's got to be right, you know. And sometimes, you know, when you're making an album, you might record a couple more songs that you like more than the songs that you had on there before, and you just kind of have to redo it. But that's what it is. I mean, it's a lot put in. You know, it's a lot. You know, to do an album, it's so much put into it. But I put my heart into it, and that's a lot, and that's enough. So, yeah. I try not to listen to too much mainstream, because I don't want any kind of nowadays trendy, fashionable, fad-like sounds, you know, seeping into my brain that I started sound like anyone else. That's not what I'm about. I mean, I'm different. I've been different from the day I was born. I mean, I was born different from my siblings, and it just kind of been with me all my life, and I knew that, and I just want to remain just me, M. So I definitely, it was just interesting to see those awards and just seeing all these artists. I'm like, who is this person? Well, I kind of like this person. And, you know, Lord, you know, she had a voice like that. Oh, my God. The girl that sang that song, Royals. And, she sung another one of her songs, and I didn't even know she had a voice like that. So that was pretty interesting. Katy Perry looked nice. And see what else that caught my eye. Oh, yeah, I wasn't too fond of Usher's performance. I hate to say it, but, you know, he's kind of lost his luster since the whole Marion Tamika thing, which I have nothing against her, but, you know, I just still kind of salty the way things were done. You know, I think the pressure of her not being what their standards of, you know, what Hollywood and the entertainment business's standards of someone that Usher should be with, and now he's with someone that's older than her, that's even older than her, but the fact that, you know, she's partially Hispanic and, you know, she's a lot of shades lighter than Tamika, that makes a lot of difference. So we still live in that type of society. It's always going to be that way. It is what it is. You know, I'm a brown-skinned girl myself, not dark, caramel brown, you know, but love every minute of it. Wouldn't trade my complexion for nothing. But, yeah, I didn't care too much for the performance, you know, him banging on Nicki Minaj's ass, and I'm so sick of her ass. But anyway, I'll get to that in a second. See, another performance. Maroon 5. I definitely been a fan of Maroon 5 since day one. Definitely. And it also was a good look, you know, to see the VMAs being, being in Inglewood, you know. I just thought it took me by surprise. I didn't even know they had, you know, any kind of, you know, venue that big or that nice in Inglewood to hold an award show like the VMA. So shout out to Inglewood. But, yeah, so, yeah, it was a pretty decent. And Nicki Minaj, her performance, one thing I didn't get the performance with she and Ariana Grande and I guess that was Lord or the other chick. It was two, you know, jet black hair chicks that they looked alike. I didn't know which one was which, so, you know, but I didn't get that performance. But let's get into the Nicki Minaj. Well, no, before I even go into the Nicki Minaj performance, let's get into B's performance. I am not the hugest fan of Beyonce, and you know, I don't make it a secret. I don't care, but I'm a fan of her stage presence, her stage performance. I'm a fan of her show. Well, you know what? I guess I'm a fan of Sasha Fierce and not so much a fan of Beyonce. I guess I can say that because Sasha Fierce is who I like to see perform. I don't care about listening to her in an interview. I don't care about, you know, picking up a magazine and, you know, seeing her. And, you know, it's just not that serious for me. I'm not a Beehive or a Beyonce fatic. You know, I'm an emphatic. But, yeah, I'm just not in, you know, I'm just not, you know, I got my own reasons, but I love to watch that girl perform, and she did her damn thing. And, you know, when Jay-Z presented her with the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award, you know, I thought it was very touching. I thought it was very touching. You know, he said that she was the best entertainment. Well, I think his words were the greatest entertainment of all time. And, you know, I have to say I do kind of put Beyonce up there with Michael Jackson. I really do. One thing about me, you know, I can like you or dislike you or, you know, like the person that you are, just like the person that you are. But if you are somebody great, if you're doing something great, I'm not going to be the one to not say that you're not, because I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to keep it all the way real. The girl is a consummate performer. She put her all into it. If anyone says that Beyonce can't sing, and people have said that out of spite, you know, say that Kelly can sing better than Beyonce, you know you're lying. Stop the madness. It's just not necessary. But the girl is just, she's just dynamite. She's just extraordinary. And to see her baby out there, Blue Ivy, oh, my God. To see her in the audience on her father's, in her father's lap, and, you know, the camera, I don't know if you remember, guys, if you were looking at the MTV Awards, the camera zoomed in on little Blue Ivy, and, you know, she looked so cute with a little afro, and I wish people would stop teasing a little girl about her hair. It's stupid, but I think she looked so adorable, looking just like her father, and she was just taking all of her mother's performance in. You can tell she's already a fan of her mom. You know, you can tell that what her mom is doing, she's taking it in, and she's soaking it in, and you already know it's in her blood. She's going to be an entertainer of some sort, you know. She's not going to be a Montana Fishburne, but I can definitely see her doing, you know, she probably wouldn't be the next Beyonce, who knows. But, yeah, I thought that was beautiful. And, it was a tearjerker for me. I can honestly say that. And But yeah, I thought that was befitting. I thought it was great that Jay presented her with the award. I really did, and to call her, you know, the greatest entertainer of all time, because that's his opinion, and I put her up there with Michael Jackson. I mean, people might disagree with me, but I'm entitled to my opinion, and I put her up there. I even put her before Tina Turner, although she's bit off a lot of people. Tina. You know, who else do I can say? She's bit off a lot of people. But, you know, she's made her own. And I've said this in another show with another guest on the show, that you can bite off other people. And I don't even call it biting. I just call it imitation or imitating. Imitating and mimicking is the best form of flattery ever, you know. I mimic some singers. I mimic Dusty Springfield all the time in the way I sing. I mimic stuff. Stevie Nicks sometimes, it depends on the type of song I'm singing. I mimic a little Mary J. Blige, which she's really not one of my inspirations, but she, yeah, I got a little Mary in me, I do, and I mimic Mickey Howard. Yeah, I people always said that I sounded like her, but I won't put myself in that kind of, in the category of Mickey Howard, but I got pipes, but I don't have those Mickey pipes. But, yeah, I mean, India Davenport, Amel LaRue, I've gotten all that. And, you know, and even some Phil Collins. I got some Phil Collins in me. And, you know, I take all my influences, people who, and Lisa Stansfield, those voices that I've loved, that I grew to love. And even Madonna. You know, I take all their voices and things about their voices and things, you know, in their vocal performances, I take and I make it my own. You know, I think I mentioned this on the show once before, that I listened to a Dusty Springfield song over 93, I think it was about 93 times in a row. But then I listened to the song just, you know, every day, but I listened to it 93 times in a row to try to get this one run that she would do. And this one run and ad-lib that she would do in her songs that I said I got to get it now because I love it. Because when I hear it, when she sings a song and I hear it, It always sticks out in my mind. It always sticks out in my head. And when I sing her song, you know, I find myself doing it. And my songs, or when I'm singing around the house, I say, you know what? I'm going to listen to it. I want to perfect this. And, you know, it's not Dusty, but it's just M. It's what I took from her, and I got my own spin on it. So, you know, that's all that matters. I'm giving her flattery, and you know, and that is the best form of flattery is imitation, and I'll say that again and again and again. You know, there's nothing wrong with biting off, you know, taking a little chew off of something or someone. So there's nothing wrong with biting. Now, if you're eating the whole, you know, the whole thing, you know, taking a person's whole performance and consuming it, that's one thing. But, you know, taking bites and chews off of people's performances or vocal performances or whatever, you know, just like Ciara with Janet Jackson, you know, you could tell that Janet Jackson is her influence without her even saying it. But at the same token, Ciara has taken Janet's, you know, style and made, you know, she made what she took from Janet her own, and it's definitely Ciara. And there's going to be some other little girls out there that's doing the same thing that Ciara's doing now, you know, in the next 5 years or maybe 10 years. Who knows, you know? But, yeah, I said all that to say this. I mean, I just thought it was just the cutest thing. I really did. And, you know, and then she just got emotional. You know, she really didn't say a speech because, you know, we know that Beyonce is not the most articulate person in the world. But, you know, she, you know, after doing that performance and, you know, getting the Vanguard Award, you know, it's not really much you can say, but thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. And I love that, you know, she said, thank you, Blue Ivy. My blue and beloved. She called Jay-Z beloved. I thought that was cute, and then, you know, I thought it was great. You know, despite any other feelings I have about them having too much power and, you know, people giving them too much power, you can't blame nobody but the people. You know, can't blame nobody but the people because, you know, everybody want to dress like Beyonce. Beyonce changes her hair color. She cut her hair. Whatever she does, other artists want to do the same thing and thinking that, you know, okay, if I like Beyonce, then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to step my game up a notch or step my whatever up a notch. I'm going to be a bigger star. And I think it's crazy. You know, I get so sick of hearing these artists, these female artists, say, I'm trying to get my Beyonce on. Why don't you get yourself on? Don't be Beyonce. Be yourself. I've heard everybody from Keisha Cole say it. Lil Mo say it. Who else? I've heard a lot of chicks say it. And I think it's ridiculous. You know, you're never going to be Beyonce. You need to continue to be yourself. And, you know, when you do that, every time they say stuff like that, they're giving her more power. You know, when you buy her album and stuff, you can be mad at her all you want to, but as long as you're buying her album, you're giving her power. Jay-Z, and then when everything they do, you know, if they can look at each other wrong, they can not smile at each other in a picture, people are blowing it up. And guess what? You're blowing up, you're making a story out of it, blowing it up in the media, and you're giving them more power. Because guess what they're going to do? They're going to counteract by writing a song about what you just put in the blogs or in the media. You know, you idiots. So, you know, do yourself a disservice or do yourself a service and stop giving them power. And then that way you won't have to gripe about Beyonce and Jay. And, you know, I was listening, and I said that to say this. You know, it's always got to be a controversy around triumph and around something so good as Beyonce accomplishing that feat. You know, they're trying to say that she should be ashamed of herself because she didn't thank Michael Jackson and thank Katherine Jackson or the Jackson family for that award. But let's just be real here. She didn't have to thank them because it's called the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. Michael Jackson did not create the award. MTV did. They just called it the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award because Michael Jackson is the greatest entertainer of all time. Simple as that. So, yeah, I mean, so you can't, you know, people always got to say something so dumb and stupid, but I don't think there's anything wrong with her, you know, not thanking him. I don't even think it came to mind. She doesn't have to thank Michael Jackson for her winning the Vanguard Award. Now, if she wants to thank Michael Jackson for paving the way, that's a different story. But he didn't create that award, so people need to quit. You know, let Beyonce have her moment and let it go. But on that note, we have a caller, y'all. Who is this tuning into the emphatic show on LawlessRadio.com, 678?
It's your boy, JB.
What's up, JB?
What's happening?
Not much, man. Up here chilling, and, you know, carrying this 2 hours by myself. You know, I was supposed to have a guest tonight, and I had to cancel the, you know, his performance or his visit, you know, to the emphatic show because when I listened to his music that he submitted to me, it was nothing but curse words. It was great songs. I mean, and that's the worst part about it. The songs were great. I really liked them. I was jamming to them. But, you know, I told him, you know, send me your edited music.
Edited, right.
And
yeah,
these artists,
edit them.
I keep telling him, you need to. I even had this artist, I wanted to play his music on the show. And I really did want to play it. But mm-hmm. The fact that I said, well, make sure you edit the music and then send it to my email address and the music at lawlessradio.com email as well. Because
Right. Before
I play it on my show, you know, I want to listen to it first before, you know, I have them send it to both emails. I want to listen to it first. I'm not going to play it on
Right. My
show. Now,
Right.
Chairman can do what he wants to do, but I'm not. But, yeah, and so, you know, this one guy was like, well, how do you edit? What do you mean, how do you edit? How do you edit music? What do you mean, what is that? What is editing? I almost choked on a chicken bone, and I don't even eat meat. I mean,
what?
Come on now. Yeah.
How
and
you
then
edit
he was
music
like, well,
and you don't know how
to
edit?
He didn't know anything about editing. You mean to tell me you're, okay, you got about 50 million videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
He got a plethora of music. Yeah, this dude got a lot of songs and stuff. He got hot stuff. He's from New Jersey. He got a lot of stuff. But the thing is, you don't know what editing is. That's insane to me. And then he puts me in touch with his manager. It was like, talk to my manager. You know, he can talk to you more about that. So I even gave, you know, something I don't even hardly do. I have two numbers. I gave him one of my numbers, the one that I give for business, and told him, I said, well, have your manager call me. And the dude reached out to me on Facebook instead. I'm like, so then he sends me a message, some generic message. I can't even remember what the message was. It was so mundane, it was stupid. I don't even remember what the message was, but it was something I'm like, you know what, I'm not even going to respond to it. Because I'm like, well, what do you mean? I want to say he said something like, Yeah, what up? My boy told me to holler at you. I think that's what it was. Okay, so he okay, he told you to holler at me, so holler. Nothing else after that. I'm like, okay, and I put question marks, and he came back. It took him a day or two to even come back and say anything, and I'm like, well, you know, I gave my number, and, you know, I wanted to talk to him about, look, you got an artist, you know, why doesn't he know what editing is? I want to play his music on my show. I can't play it without editing, you know, and
right,
I just couldn't
right.
believe it. That's why I keep telling these artists, and I put it on Facebook, social media, whatever. I say, if you don't take your career seriously, how do you expect me to take it seriously?
Right,
if you're
right,
too late,
right.
get off your ass and go to your engineer and have your – you ain't even got to move. All you got to do is just send the music, you know, you can email it to your engineer and he can send the WAV files to your engineer and he can do the editing for you. But,
yeah.
Man, I ain't got time for all that. Shoot, I ain't bleeping nothing out here. So, you know, people got to respect the fact that I'm still prime time. I'm 8
right.
to 10. Kids are still up. It might be some kids right now listening to my station or my show, and I'm not going to have no F-bombs, no M-bombs, no P-bombs, none of that stuff,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
for no kids pick up coming from the Emphatic Show to go back to school and say, you all heard this song on Emphatic Show, man. You know, you ought to listen to the Emphatic Show, man. She be playing
yeah,
all them
yeah.
nasty songs.
Yeah.
No, you won't be twerking to nothing that's played on the Emphatic Show. No, don't go down like
right.
that. But what's going on in your world, JB?
Nothing, man. You know, just trying to maintain. That's about it.
Okay, well, ain't nothing wrong with maintaining. Yeah,
yeah,
ain't nothing wrong with maintaining. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Hump Day. It's Emphatic Wednesday, so at least you got over the hump. A lot of people ain't even getting over the hump.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know. Yes, but, you know, while I had you on the phone, I had a question, you know, my topic or my question, which is, what are your secret dreams and aspirations that you never told a soul? Something that you always wanted to do that's always been in your mind that you never told anyone, or maybe told one or two people, or maybe, you know, just talked about it briefly and never thought of and never did it again, but always thought about doing.
Yeah. Well,
and don't say being a Chippendale dancer.
Say what? What you say?
And don't say being a Chippendale dancer.
No, they won't none of that.
Somehow I can't see you with no Chippendale, with no bow tie around your neck, with no shirt on and some speedo. I somehow can't see that, JB.
You can't see that.
No, I can't see that. But hey, if that's your dream and aspiration, go for it.
No. But you know, one of mine was, you know, I had several, you know, growing up. You know, one of the things that I wanted to do was like when I was growing up, I always liked to, you know, work with my hands. So I wanted to go to the military and become a mechanical engineer.
Really?
You know, so yeah, because I always like, you know, for some when I bought my first car, you know, every time something go wrong with it, you know, I wouldn't take it to the shop. I go out and work on it myself and, you know,
mm-hmm.
tinker around with it. So that's, you know, and then it became interesting to me. So that's what I wanted. I was like, man, I'm gonna go to the military. I'm becoming a mechanical engineer, but that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started pursuing that and when I was in high school and when I took the test, passed ASVAB and all that, but the recruiter kept giving me the runaround.
Right.
Hello? Yeah,
right.
She kept giving me the runaround, so you know, and then when I finally did get in contact with her, she would tell me I got to do everything all over again. I'm like, nah, man, I ain't be doing all that. You know, so let that go. And then, you know, I started playing basketball. And I want, you know, I'm pretty good at basketball, and I was playing on this recreation team. I tried to get on the high school team, but, you know, the coach, they had a certain player that they wanted to play, especially the ones that were from their hometown. So they the one that always got the playing time. You know, I continued to play, but you know, nothing ever came about it. So, and then the last thing that I wanted to be a massage therapist.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and then okay. So why didn't you practice on me in 1991? You could have got some cousins then, JB. What the hell?
Yeah, I know, right?
Actually, I need one now, especially my neck, man. My neck was, man, it was my neck yesterday. I want to say my neck and my back, but it wasn't even my back. It was just my neck.
Yeah, yeah, but it make it, you know, it makes, it's that muscle that runs down there and makes you feel like your back, but it's actually your neck.
Right. See, you know, yeah. I have to take you up on that offer that you haven't offered yet.
Yeah, but you know, that's one thing that I still want to do, but my, you know, it's kind of conflicting with my my work schedule, because I work rotating shifts, and you know how you have to, when you go to school, you have to be on a set shift for like a whole year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you could, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of flexible. You could take a class on Saturday. You know, I went to the, you know, little college and got approved and everything, but I couldn't get my job to, you know, let me fix it so I can work like one set schedule, stay on one schedule for the whole year. But I ain't going to give up on that one, because that's something that I really, you know, I want to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't, I mean, it's something that you can still do. You don't give up on it. I mean,
no.
I mean, if you want to just make people feel good, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah, I got some.
True. I mean, you don't even have to have a like. Let me be your little guinea pig, okay?
Okay.
Let M the Queen be your guinea pig, man. I'll just sit right here for 3 hours, you know, just fall asleep. And
Yeah.
Now, about this car that you had that you used to work on. Now, is that same car, you know?
Yeah, that Mustang. Yeah, that Mustang. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, boy. See, don't I have a good memory?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I do remember Mustang.
Yeah, that Mustang.
You went Kiki?
Yeah.
Man, those were the days. My goodness, yeah. Those were the days, man.
I'm
so glad we grown
now. I kept that car for a long time.
Really?
I kept that car for a long time. Yeah, until I finally sold it to one of my buddies. And he kept it for a while, and I told him if he ever got rid of it, sell it back to him, but he sold it to somebody else. But I got me another one now.
Oh, okay. What you got now?
I got another Mustang. I got a 93.
Okay. You love the Mustangs. I like Mustangs myself, you know, but can't see myself driving one now. I got to have that Acura. I mean, not Acura, good Lord. I meant Audi. Audi. I want an Audi.
Audi.
A5 Quattro or the A8 Quattro, because I don't like this. For some reason, I'm not that fond of the 6, and I'm not that fond of the 7. I don't care that much for those. I don't like that 7 body style. I really don't. But if somebody give it to me, I'll definitely drive it. But yeah, the M plan on having her Audi at least. Now I keep pushing the year back, but God knows by the end of next year, I got the.
Oh yeah.
You know, at least I got. I'm going to work towards, so if you have something to work towards, you know, you work a little hard and you do extra things to do it, you know, with everything I got going on. I mean, I got so many things going on that everything's going to pan out monetarily that I can get this out. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. But now I'm going to stick with my little Kia. You know, I'm proud of my little Kia Soul, you know, the little hamster car. People say that, but and let me just tell y'all out there listening, the next person to call my vehicle a car, it is not a car. Yes, I call
SUV.
It a truck because it's shaped like a truck, but it's an SUV. It is a sports utility vehicle. Okay?
Yeah.
Y'all understand that. That is an SUV. The Kia Soul is the number one SUV in the nation, and actually there's a commercial that says. Now,
my car,
people call my car a little box car, man. I'd be like, man, I got your box. I got your box. It's right on Big Daddy Kane's head back in 89.
Yeah.
My eyebrow. Yeah. So basically you wanted to go to the military and you wanted to, you know, you want to be a massage therapist.
Yeah, anything that's dealing with my hands, I'm good with that, you know. I'm a hands-on type of person.
No, That's good to know. Yeah, and I actually, I said mine earlier, you know, I wanted to be Miss USA and Miss Universe, both, you know, you can win both. I mean, that's something I dreamt for a long time. I used to pretend, I was saying early in the broadcast, I used to grab my mom's wigs, you know, find anything around, make it my crown,
mm-hmm.
put on
mm-hmm.
my nightgowns and my gown. Yes, I did. I actually did that. I was a funny kid, yo. I had an imagination. And
yeah.
I wanted to be a model, and I used to, you know, go to model, you know, modeling casting calls, you know, and you know, go do on those modeling scout things at the hotels in Raleigh. And even when I was a teenager, I used to subscribe to the Vogue. It was Vogue and 17 magazine, and I used to
mm-hmm.
get those little postcards on the back and tear them out and send them in, and I send in my picture as well. So, and they started, you know, they would write me back. So I'm like, shoot. But yeah, that was my thing. And besides being
that.
A singer and songwriter,
I mean,
that's a given. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see
and,
that.
And the other one was a basketball star. I secretly wanted to be a basketball star. And I still think about myself being on the court dribbling and, you know, I didn't want to be just a regular basketball player. I wanted to be like a Harlem Globetrotter type situation.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, even Rutgers, because I'm pretty a combative person. I really
yeah.
am. I believe in combat. Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm one of those person that I'm real competitive. So whatever I have to do to win, I do that, and I do that in my everyday life
mean.
Anyway.
I feel you on that. I agree with that 100%.
I can't stand to lose.
Oh,
now, I'm telling you, like I remember them days when we were kids and stuff. You know, playing the Atari. My brother, we used to go at it. Man, I used to break joysticks. I did what I had to do. I would restart the games and stuff, so he wouldn't win. Man, I did it all, but, you know, I think that's probably why I'm, you know, successful as I am
yeah.
now, and just having that winning attitude and, you know, having that sense of doing what you got to do to get it, you know. So, you know, I ain't going to change. That's never going to stop. That's never going to stop. And I didn't even tell my other one, y'all. I didn't even tell my other one. I said, you know, I'm going to save that one for last. Okay. This is my very, very last secret dream and aspiration. I always, for some crazy odd reason, wanted to be a professional wrestler.
What?
Yes. I know. I mean, I wouldn't have no problem with getting a black eye or something like that, because I'm going to give it back. I'm going to break a leg. You give me a black eye, I'm going to put you in a ticket for you, okay? I put my brother in one back when I was 11. Didn't even know I had it on him, and he was screaming. I'm sitting up here like, you know, I thought he was playing. Seriously, I thought he was
yeah.
playing and screaming and stuff. And you know, you see, like, tears rolling out the side of his eyes. And I'm like, and I didn't know how to break the hole because I was in shock. And so we just kind of, like, wiggled. He wiggled, and we, you know, we kind of wiggled me out of it, or him out of it, because I had him on it. I had it on him. And, actually, I did it. I actually did that. We were just playing around. And, I mean, he and I, we went at it all the time. And it was the craziest thing, and then I actually had the opportunity back in 2001, a year after I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
I met Abdullah the Butcher. Yep, I went to his restaurant, you know, Abdullah House of Ribs and Chicken, or Chicken and Ribs, which one was it?
Uh-huh.
Ribs and Chicken, I think. But yeah, over there off of Campbellton Road,
mm-hmm.
in that area. And a friend of mine and I went to his restaurant, and he invited us to come to his wrestling match the next night. And we actually went, Ben Hill Auditorium, 2000. I actually got a couple pictures on Facebook, and, you know, one of my throwback pictures. You know, me, you, if you remember what I look like, you know, I have a muscular physique, and I have a really nice
yeah,
muscular
I know
physique.
Look.
And so, yeah, you see my arms, and it's all natural. I don't work my arms out. It's natural, all natural physique, and
yeah,
it's the craziest thing because they picked me out of the crowd, out of all those people at Ben Hill Auditorium. I'm not saying it was thousands and thousands of people, but it was enough people, and they had me come on the ring post to take a picture. So I did. They helped me on there, and I was holding the belt. I was actually holding the belt, and I had one arm up. I was flexing a muscle, and they shot the picture. And then you can see in the back. But the funny thing about the picture is you can see in the background, you can see blood, where Abdullah the
really?
Butcher and Iceberg Slim, yeah, had just had a match.
Yeah.
And the fork and was, you know, poking it in his forehead and stuff, and he was bleeding everywhere, and it was crazy. It was gory, but I love every minute of it. So you can see the puddle of blood in the background. And then I have another picture I took right beside the ring, and I had the belt around my waist. Mm-hmm. And they invited me back, you know, backstage or, you know, in the dressing room area where I met Kamala. Funniest thing ever, I'm like, you know, I already kind of knew he wasn't from Africa. I knew it was a gimmick. But, yeah, he's from Mississippi. His name is James. Yeah, he's from Mississippi. And actually got both of his legs amputated, I think, from what I understand. Yeah, he had both his legs amputated. He's being taken care of by his niece. And, I met Kamala. I met the real Sheik, not the Iron Sheik, but the original Sheik, the one that threw fire on you, the one that taught Abdul the Butcher how to poke people in the eyes and in the forehead and cut you up. And, the crazy Sheik, the one that had the snake. And, you know, whose nephew, who was in ECW, Sabu. That's his nephew. Yeah. Sabu was the Sheik's nephew. So I met the Sheik, and if he wasn't that tall, he's not even a big guy, and he really didn't look that old either. But it was crazy because he had on his Arabian headgear. You know, he was originally from Iran, and he wasn't from Iran. He's from Michigan. He's from Michigan, but he had on his Iranian or Arabic, you know, headgear and stuff. But no, he's actually from, his name is Ed Farrett, and he's from Michigan. But he didn't talk, we didn't even talk to each other. We took a picture together, and it freaked me out because I'm like, is he going to turn around and throw fire on me? Like, just the show? I was just thinking all kinds of things. I mean, I think I was sweating when I was taking a picture with him.
Yeah.
And I also met Gangsta New Jack. Gangsta New Jack from ECW, the black guy. You remember the blue, you know, you remember Gangsta New Jack and Mustafa?
They
started wrestling at Miss South Wrestling. Oh, was it Miss South? Tennessee Smoky Mountain, the Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that's where they started out at, and they went to ECW because, you know, they took a lot of Jim Cornette's talent. And but to make a long story short, he wanted to take me out. He wanted to take me out, and Lord, I mean, it's a picture of him kissing me on the cheek, and he almost got me in the mouth until, you know, the person was taking the picture. You know, I was like, they're like, are you ready? And I turned my face, and he got me on the cheek, and I'm thinking, it freaked me out too because his forehead is all jacked up, y'all. I mean, his forehead is just like, where, you know, all the poking and, you know, how he used to take the staple gun and staple people's forehead, and you remember he cut the one cat and stuff that 17-year-old boy and got charged and had to go to court. But, met him, and he was really cool. His name is Jerome, and guess where he's from, JD?
Where?
You never guess. Originally.
North Carolina.
Greensboro, G-Boro. Mm-hmm. I go over to Greensboro. Yes, you know, because you know his stage persona, you know, his wrestling persona, he's supposed to be from South Central or Compton. Compton is where, you know, one of the bad parts of L.A. But, yeah, Compton. He was supposed to be a new Jack from Compton, but no. He's from Greensboro, North Carolina. And I didn't even realize he's as old as he is. He's 51 years old. So that was just crazy. I mean, you know, he was really, really cool. And then I've seen documentaries of him. That fool is crazy. He's really off the chain for real, but he's actually a cool cat. And funny thing is, I've been tracking him down and actually tracked him down, you know, because, you know, like I said, he wanted to take me out years ago, and I tracked him down. I'm trying to get him to get in, you know, in the magazine for October's issue, Lawless Magazine, because, you know, I write two articles, so I'm trying to get him in that, trying to get him on the show, and, yeah, in my upcoming show, you know, which I'm going to talk about later, you know. We got a few more minutes here, but yeah, so it was crazy. It was crazy to meet him.
But where is the magazine?
The magazine is online now. We're going to be in print. We're going to go to print, you know, eventually, sooner than you think, but you just log on to www, which I'm going to, you know, say at the end of the show. You know, always, you know, got to, you know, give information about everything that we do under Lawless Entertainment umbrella, but just simply log on to www.lle.com. MAG.com, which stands for Lawless Entertainment Magazine. I'll send you the link too. I got your I got your inbox up, and I can send you the link. But yeah, I mean, I advertise it every month. It comes out every the first day of the month. In fact, September's issue is going to come out on the first, so you'll get to check that out. And I have two stories I do every single month. And I have a column called The Queen's View. So you see The Queen's View, you see my picture beside it. That's me.
And
the Queen.
All right.
Yep. So, JB, stick around. Stay by. I got to play a couple songs here, and then we're going to close out the show. So I'm going to play Show and Hold here, and we're going to get into some Keeping It Real by my main man from the Funk Town, well, one of my hometowns, the Funk Town, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins. Y'all, it's emphatic, and it's lawless.
Life be good to you, 'cause you know you can't be real. speed, a fast-paced road rage machine. Can't nobody race at the same pace as me. In the lead soon as I let the clutch release. If you listen close, you can hear the sound of speed. Who cares what they say about me? Little rock influence in E-R-D. Same attitude as K-A-M-Y-E. Rhyme scheme sorta like a solid quali. And as I travel the highway, sorta like an amateur Bobby Labonte. Too fast, got you outran in a car chase. Now please tell me how to gas from my exhaust taste. James Bond in the Aston, hugging the curves like my car had on. I step back a couple yards before you step off my Viper alarm. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back.
So far the battle with one dog. I feel like a millionaire minus one dog.
I say goodnight to him, I say goodnight to him. I put him to bed, I Jay Holiday to him. Full steam ahead, I move straight through him. I got a nitrous tape with no break through it. Relax, I got my feet up now. Cause nobody can defeat us now. Doing my thing, I don't need no crown. But you can call me Superman like three doors down. Yeah, a rock star living life on the edge. I feel another ring come, another championship. Man, I feel it in the air, the battle is won, dog. I feel like a millionaire minus a slum dog. Here we go again, here we go again. The rat pack and the backpack and fly trend. Motivated by successful pioneers who paved the way for us to make it right here. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back.
So far the battle with one dog. I feel like a millionaire minus slum dog.
Time to put the nail in the coffin. Close it tight, don't let the maggots let our hearts in. Wheels moving like a volleyball top spin. Rotating to the next city where the crowd is. Now everybody silent, put your lighters up in the air and be quiet. Tribute to the crime rate, for every life that's lost to gun violence.
So far the battle was one dog. So far the battle was one dog. So far the battle was one dog. I feel like a millionaire minus a slum dog. So far the battle was one dog. So far the battle was one dog. So far the battle was one dog. I feel like a millionaire minus a slum dog. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back. Mr. Yeah Buddy is back.
So far the battle was one dog. I feel like a millionaire minus a slum dog.
Turn the lights on. Hey, Patron got me feeling like kissing this new girl. I'm hoping that they gon' save it. The way she just asked, I won't do it. I told her I'm spinning when I ain't been moving. I told her some water might be beneficial. She made me a drink. I said I could kiss you. Damn, damn. Did I really say that? These nights were so fun. I wish I could record them so I could go back and replay that. We out here, it's the whole crew going way harder than we supposed to. Looking like we on vacay, living like you want to. So when you see us out acting up, don't worry, that's what we do. Got a box full of these being frank, so being frank, I don't really care what we do. If I brought it, I'm planning on spinning. And if she with me, then her friends leave it separate. Unless they talking at the party. Cause y'all talking at the party. I'm about to go crazy.
Patron got me feeling like the double shot got me looking like. Yeah, I'm feeling like a star tonight. Get crazy on the floor, so turn the lights off. Sip Patron got me feeling like the double shot got me looking like. Yeah, I'm feeling like a star tonight. Get crazy on the floor, so turn the lights
off. It's Maserati one way. And got me speeding down the runway. So fast, take flight like a runway. Top back, top model down the runway.
Well, it just hit 130,
30. So I ain't in no hurry.
No hurry.
I rode a crew of warriors taking shots like Stephen Curry. Don't need the drama. Up late like a god insomnia. Patrol like comma. Shooting like country night night. I'm gone black out Obama. Dang. Damn, you scream flownetic. Girl, this is my song, so you know we finna get
okay.
It. So turned up that these can't turn me down. Cool boy, the after party, yeah, you know what's going down.
Shit.
I'm about to go crazy. Sip Patron got me feeling like the double shot got me looking like. Yeah, I'm feeling like a star tonight. They crazy on the floor, so turn the lights on.
Trippin', tell me what you sippin'. Get a few more drinks, then we dippin'. On to the hotel, no-tell, motel. See, I'm going too fast. Oh, well. I got to say this to you, girl. I swear to God, you wear it well. The way the heels push up your calf. Make me wanna act your food in hell. That throat is just shaking, shaking. And I can't be bad, folks. I'm going off a bottle or two, so now I ain't back, folks. I barely can stand, and I ain't talking about vertigo. I'm off in my mind. Special sizes that I'm working, yeah. It's the beat of the illa. They say crazy for real. No prison, but I'ma cuff you on your lie. I'm talking hard time, locked up, back the way I like to bend it over, poke it out. Now baby, let me hear you shout.
Big crazy.
Sip Patron got me feeling like the double shot got me looking like. Yeah, I'm feeling like a star tonight. They crazy on the floor, so turn the lights on. Sip Patron got
Yes, 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 y'all. We are finally back. And when I say finally back, back for the last time, because we are approaching the end of this show. Remember, y'all, y'all are tuning to the Emphatic Show on LawlessRadio.com with your girl, your one and only host, me and the queen, but she is I and I am her and my sensual voice. Anyway, yes, we have come to the end of the show. But yeah, I was going to go on my Nicki Minaj rant, but all I'm going to say is this. Girl, you got too much talent, and you're a beautiful girl without all that, you know, pink hair, cotton candy hair, whatever. Polka dot hair. You don't have to do all that, you know, popping your booty, you know, making your booty clap, which we know it ain't real. It's not necessary, Nicki. I mean, you can sell records without that. You have. You've proven yourself. You've broken records. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not digging this, Nicki, and you have to evolve, and you definitely have to continue to recreate yourself, or reinvent yourself. But at the same token, I mean, come on now, Nicki, is that Anaconda video? Is that really, really necessary? Let the backup dancers do the booty popping and, you know, the butt clapping. You ain't got to do all that, you know. But, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a fan, but I definitely like Nicki Minaj, so shout out to her, but wasn't digging that at all. And I know people have been talking about it for days, about the Anaconda video and how raunchy it is. You know, I like raunch myself. I mean, I'm raunchy. You know, I'm raunchy. It is what it is. The queen is raunchy. But it's only but so much, you know, I feel like I need to do for attention and to sell records or to do what it is I'm trying to achieve in this entertainment business. So on that note, y'all, if you have not checked out Lawless Entertainment Magazine's August issue, you need to. This is our biggest issue ever. I mean, since the magazine has been started. It's been less than a year now, and it's actually approaching a year that Lawless Entertainment Magazine was started. And, you know, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it. You know, I have my own column called The Queen's View, and I also write two articles as well. So I'm very proud of that. So if you haven't, you know, checked out August issue, you definitely need to. The Music Fever issue, because we're talking about nothing but music and what made us know or what make us have music fever and how do we know that we had music fever. Y'all got to check out my story because I put my foot in it. I, you know, went back to when I was 2 years old and 3 years old when I first realized what music was and dancing and all that stuff and watching my dad, Afro, going from side to side. You know, we couldn't dance, but he tried. But yes, yes. So definitely, y'all, if you need to check it out. You need to check out the Music Fever issue of Lawless Magazine. And how you do that is you log on to www.LLEMAG.com, which stands for Lawless Entertainment Magazine.com. Also, if you want to get played, y'all underground, unsigned, independent artists that ain't getting no play on regular radio, that ain't getting played nowhere else no more than on YouTube where you're making all these 50 million videos and not really doing anything else, you know, but promoting videos so people can see, you know, that you're doing music, which really is no point in it, but you know, you're not getting played anywhere else. I mean, you're not really selling CDs, but you need to get played. If you're not getting played, you're playing yourself because there's so many avenues that you can get played. There's such thing as internet radio. People like me, people like Lawless, we play your music as long as it's edited, y'all. I mean, y'all, I'm telling you, I can't stress the importance of editing your music. Y'all have to get off your lazy asses and send your music. You ain't even got to move it. Just a click of the buttons on your keyboard. Send your music, your WAV files to your engineer and have them edit your music. Take out the curse words. It's not hard to do. We're not taking away from your music. We're not taking away from your song. But if you want to be played on primetime, which I am still primetime, 8 to 10, if you want to get played on the Emphatic Show, you got to edit your music. You got to edit your music. And I'm the biggest supporter of underground unsigned independent artists because I'm an independent artist myself. So, you know, it would be hypocritical for me to put anyone down. I just want to just play your music and make sure you're getting heard. You know, if you're not getting played, you're playing yourself. I say it all the time, and I mean it. So send your music, your edited music, to music@lawlessradio.com. Y'all, I'm about to wrap up this show. You know, unfortunately, we were supposed to have a guest tonight, Suge, the Nasty Boy out of South Carolina, but unfortunately, he didn't send me edited music, but he said he's going to edit the music that he sent me, which I really liked. I enjoyed them, and I'll probably listen to them some more, but, you know, he got to get them to me right. I tell y'all all the time, come to me correct, and I'll definitely, you know, come back at you correct, and I'll definitely support you, because we do support our local come-up, and we want you to do the same thing, hashtag support your local come-up. Y'all, I'm going to conclude this show. I mean, I enjoyed it, although I didn't have a host. I mean, a guest. I didn't have a guest. I'm the host, y'all. But I didn't have a guest. I mean, it's all good. I thank you to my callers. I really appreciate y'all calling in. And Big Ty, my homie, my ace boom coon, calling in every week. And my high school, I won't even say what he was, but JB calling in. I appreciate you. Much love to you. Y'all, I'm about to end this show. It has been a wonderful, emphatic Wednesday on lawlessradio.com. Make sure you tune in next week, same time, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is emphatic, and it's lawless. And, y'all, next week I will have another guest. So make sure you tune in. Y'all, good night, and I'll see you next week. And I'm going to take y'all out of here with some Seneca the Misfit, my homie from BMO, for y'all lame that don't know, Baltimore. Oh, y'all, before I even do that, y'all, I got to shout my own music out. My goodness, I'm slipping. Y'all, I'm M, the queen of Afro pop. Check out my music on Reverb, /ME, that's EMEE. Also, SoundCloud, /ME. MQOAP, that's EMMQOAP. Y'all know this stands for M, Queen of Afro Pop. If you want to become my supporter, whatever you want to call it, fan, fatty, whatever, go log on to my Facebook page, /ME Queen of Afro Pop. Also, if you want to tweet to me at Queen of Afro Pop in all caps. You know, I do it live, I do it big, and I shout it out. And also, if you want to IG me, for you lames don't know what IG is, that's Instagram, you hit me up at M_ Queen of Afro Pop in all caps. Now, we truly have come to the end of the show, y'all. I'm about to take y'all back. We'll take them back with my boy from BMO, Baltimore, Seneca the Misfit. Y'all, it's been real, and peace.
The Mantra. Seneca. I be the illest prophet with logic, y'all know that God is with me. When I am vibing, you others jobbing is non-existent. Spit the passion over classics when crapping half of the map a shift. From this vocabulary, I'm not your average kid. I'm from the block with them 90s puffing that greenery. Bullets busting all through your body, changing your scenery. Too smooth like flossing with thick jewels. Been ruled ever since Ice Cube was running with Eazy-E. I killed them non-believers in them coliseums. Let they mama see them in the mausoleum. I'm a leisure. The fly crew, live and I provide you the rhyme too. Party banging, I'ma slide through like a visa. Diva, how I explain it. Home of the ravens, embracing the flame of dead on the pavement is how I leave ya. Good bringing the essence from dope slinging. I rep it with those bangers, no question I come to see ya. No disrespect, but we tired of you saying stopping me, I don't think so. Take a back light. Step defiant, flooding my neck with diamonds to bless like I step with Gandhi. Some others recognize me, my records is jeopardizing. Impressed with the message rhyming, your posse's a bunch of zombies. I got the hood behind me, my homies is quick to snatch you, to visit and blitz you, leave you twisted like a triple axle. Got the emphasis, you have witnessed the infamous. Spinning lava to fire you, it's hotter, change up your temperature. Y'all know Seneca's deeper than Machiavelli. Adversaries smoke them like Buddha and zigzag the Phillies. Sack a half a milli whenever I pack a building. Fading them haters that's front, and they know they had to feel me and hear me to capture like directors with the actors filming. They happen, it's all yapping, I just grab them and smack them silly. Rather be humble driven than be on the road to riches, selling out just to get paper. Take them back like to all my crazy the niggas that smoke off the ways of liquor, then ripping the razor pistol. I'm flipping the way I give you the streets and it stays official. My people, they play position, wait for the signal that I give them. Let the razors split ya. We not suburbians, we coming out of murderland. Swerving to burn a man, he deserved to cut off his other hand. Homies is hustling, shuffling to the customers. Cops rushing these brothers and snitches is trying to turn them in. Some type of cat, you find them bleeding, aiming gats like they quarterbacks. Have them catching borders like they ride receivers. Take them back like Jerusalem, times of Jesus. Pour the bottle popping, body rocking, dimes of divas. Like the kingpin with pride, got supply the region. On these streets, never sleep, that's a sign of weakness. People heard me, said I'm lacing the track. It's all factual, something natural. Take them back like... Later.